All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to take part in the co-feature of BKFC 38, which goes down on March 17th. A very intriguing fight as Jake Bostwick and Isaac Doolittle knuckle up and toe the line, and always good getting Isaac on the show to talk about these different fights. How's your day going so far, man?
Oh, I can't complain. Just getting everything I need to done.
Yeah, and I saw your post. You were saying you were playing full-on patty cake and stuff like that. Some fun little, you know, double entendre with this being a St. Patty's Day card. Like, when did this, I guess, bout offer initially, you know, come your way? Like, how long have you been privy to this? Because you posted, like, a couple weeks ago. Was that, like, around when the bout offer came your way, or was it even a bit longer than that?
It was maybe a few days before that. It hasn't been too terribly long. Normally, I like to run a six-week camp, but I think we only got a four-week one on this one.
I was going to say, you kind of were saying you prefer almost like the longer camps. Is there like a certain benefit to like the shorter camp though? Like, I guess, why would you, I guess, take this one with it being like a shorter camp? Is it just kind of wanting to get back out there and kind of get back in the win column, get like some momentum going, or what kind of motivated all of that, I suppose?
Fighters are at the whim of the promotion, so whenever they send out the contract is when we get to sign it, and BKFC has a had their hands full with Knucklemania, and they like to sit on their playing cards a little bit too long. So as fighters, you can't really be choosy. We've been waiting on them since January.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what have you been, I guess, doing in the interim? Is it just a matter of kind of like preparing and staying ready whenever you have to be ready? Like, just in the, you know, framework you kind of outlined, or like, what were you kind of getting up to through that time?
I like to cycle. If you do, because my training camps are ridiculously intensive with the footwork, with everything that we need to do. They're mentally taxing, so I like to do a different form. I go and I lift heavy, especially since I blew out my knee again right before Jay Jackson. I don't have an ACL or a meniscus in my right knee, so I like to keep that quad strong so it makes sure that the knee stays stable.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was such a significant injury, and I mean, the fact that you, like, even fought through that fight with, like, some knee issues and, you know, things of that nature, I mean, I feel like you learn a lot about yourself doing something like that, but I feel like you're no stranger to, I guess, like, overcoming, like, various adversities and stuff like that, like, even back in, like, the smoker days, like, I mean, you burst, like, your small intestines at one point, so it seems like you've got that great mental resolve to overcome the, I guess, physical, you know, regression or injury, I suppose.
Yeah, if you want to fight, you're going to fight. But Jay Jackson, I think, was the fight that had the most injuries. I had a torn teres major in my left shoulder, torn teres minor in my left shoulder, missing ACL and meniscus. I had some ankle issues, and I think the first round he knocked my left contact out. So, and I can't see past my nose, so I didn't have depth perception for about four rounds of the fight. If you want to fight, you're going to fight. If you don't, you're going to find a way out.
Yeah, and I mean, that was really articulated in a certain way, too, in the last fight, just in terms of, like, what a barn burner it was. Like, a lot of people, understandably, calling that one a BKFC classic and everything. Like, even though, like, in the, you know, rigid binary of a win or a loss, it didn't align with, you know, what I imagine you wanted out of that fight. Like, I imagine there's, like, still some, you know, big positives you could take away from that last one. Like, if so, and that is the case, like, what were those kind of positive takeaways from that Mike Richmond fight?
Well, the cliche is you either win or you learn, and I took that to heart. The Richmond, I'm not happy that I lost, but I'm grateful that I lost, because it gave me, I'm a person who likes to learn. If there's nothing left to learn, the sport or whatever skill becomes stale. And it was starting to become stale because I was winning and beating everybody. They were running from me. Richmond stood and gave me something that I'd never gotten before. And he put me in positions that I'd never been before. And it really opens your eyes to what you don't know. And that gets me excited, because that means there's stuff out there I don't know. That means there's stuff out there that I can learn. And Richmond gave me a lot of that. So I'm very appreciative of that man.
Yeah, and it seems like you guys had, like, a pretty, like, you know, good rapport after the fight, too. Like, it seemed like one of those cases where you guys kind of, you know, really throw down and, like, have that respect. And even, like, to the scale of it seeming, like, almost, like, playful a little bit. Like, I saw you commented on, you know, a post saying, like, don't get a big head. And he was saying, like, my head is always big. You just made it bigger, which I thought was kind of fun. Can you speak to that sort of camaraderie and the, I guess, respect that comes after a fight like that?
Oh, yeah. I've never had anything ill to say about Richmond, and afterwards I have even less. The man is a phenomenal striker. He is a master class. He showed it against Hunt. He just got a little bit comfortable in there and dropped his shoulder and got dropped. Other than that, he was putting on an absolute clinic on Hunt. So the huge respect for the man, and we sat down. We had a couple beers afterwards. We sat and we chatted. Dude's a great guy. I have nothing bad to say about the man.
And that's interesting because I was going to ask your thoughts on that recent title unification fight. I'm kind of curious, does that embolden a certain sense of confidence? I mean, you're already a confident guy, but in that kind of fight, like, do you see a certain level of, like, you know, fallibility with a guy like Lorenzo Hunt that maybe wouldn't have been there before, like, in the context of you wanting to become a champion? Like, do you look at a performance like that and see certain, like, holes you can exploit? Like, does that impart a certain, I guess, additional confidence, I suppose?
Oh, not in the slightest. That was actually because he said he was going to the body because he leaves it open. That's been our plan since I met the man in Puerto Rico. Richmond just did the exact game plan that we were planning on working on. And Hunt tried to complain afterwards about a fingernail in his eye. I don't think there's ever been a fight where I've been able to use both eyes. It's part of the fight game. Get used to it. It's going to suck, but if you want to fight, you want to fight. He won fair and square, but you did get humbled. Take that humility like a man. Come back, train, get better. Make sure it doesn't happen again. Don't complain about it.
And I mean, not overlooking this immediate task, but do you see that as a fight that could come to fruition down the line? Just in the, I guess, context, too, of Lorenzo kind of like talking about maybe even vacating some like of the lighter belts to kind of pursue a heavyweight title. Like, do you see that fight coming to fruition, or do you maybe predict that he navigates himself, I guess, out of the division in pursuit of like the heavyweight title and I guess higher like weight competition thereafter? Like, do you see yourself running it with Lorenzo Hunt or maybe like another guy for like a vacant title down the line kind of thing?
I'm torn between that. Puerto Rico, he was a great guy. He was a family man. I got a lot of respect for the dude. I don't have any respect for his persona, but it's just that. It's a persona. But then again, him getting down to 85, I've had those cuts. That takes massive toll on your liver, on your kidneys. I mean, this cut down to 75 for me is no slack, but it's nothing that Hunt had to do. Hunt cut an absurd amount of weight. That's going to take toll after toll on your body, and you just can't keep doing it. So on one hand, Lorenzo is on my bucket list. I've always wanted to fight the biggest and the baddest guys, not necessarily to win, but say I've done it. He is on my bucket list. Richmond was on my bucket list. There aren't many other people that are that big and bad that are on my bucket list. Those are the two main ones. So yes, I would love to fight him, but I don't want him killing himself. That'd be something that I do right before I leave. I go up to 205 to fight that man, because I want him at his best. I don't want him walking around like a corpse. And I definitely don't want any lasting damage from a weight cut or something like that to linger with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of fair. I mean, it seems like bare knuckle also is a sport that kind of lends itself well to, like, I guess wanting to, like, be, I guess, fully hydrated, large in part. Like, I guess even talking to certain fighters who are, like, you know, potentially thinking about coming to BKFC, it seems like the way they're kind of interpreting it is like maybe the benefit would be to, like, you know, minimize like as much of like a water cut, general weight cut as you can, so as to, like, you know, have that full power to kind of just like throw hands. Like, I guess, what do you think about that? Like, you're talking about like different weight cuts and stuff like that. Like, do you, like, you seem like a guy that would maybe defer to, I guess, more being like fully hydrated and having the, I guess, gas tank and power. Like, what do you think about that whole, I guess, discourse, I suppose?
I mean, that was the whole reason I fought at 85. I walked around for my last two fights for 2 weeks before the fight at 85. I don't cut weight. This is the first time I've really cut weight. But like I said, after the Richmond fight, I put on, trying to rehab that knee and my shoulder, I think I put on about 12 pounds from October to February, just lifting heavy, eating. And so this cut is harder than it honestly should be, because I'm walking around at about 95-200 instead of about 85-90. So I'm not a big fan of it. We'll see if I can maintain it. It'll be for sure an easy cut, but I don't like cutting. So I do much prefer fighting at the weight I walk around at. And that's probably what made me the smallest 85er, but it also probably made me the most dangerous, other than Richmond.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, yeah, I presumed this one was going to be, like, at light heavyweight, just because that's where you were at previously. Like, do you see a certain, like, I guess maybe even quicker path to a title, you know, competing at middleweight? Like, I feel like if you get, you know, a couple good solid wins, you could be, like, right in contention there. Is that kind of, like, how you're sort of looking at it as well? Or did you almost feel, like, at a certain disadvantage competing at light heavyweight, maybe middleweight could be a touch more optimal for you?
Oh, there was a definite disadvantage of fighting at 185, because everybody and their dog at 85 cuts from 205, 210, 215, anywhere up to 220. I think Josh Dyer is a natural 205er, but he cuts all the way down to 85. I think he said he walked around at 210, 220. And I'm walking around on the buzzer. That's a big difference, especially with these limb lengths. I've got the reach of a 5'1" woman. These guys have 80-inch reach. I'm walking around with 63, maybe 69 with my shoulders. 75, just we're closer in size. People are going to have a lot of harder time running from me. It's hard to keep their range. I don't have to work as hard. People like to dogfight more at 75 because they're shorter. So that's kind of the idea we went with. I'm kind of tired of chasing all my opponents around like they're my kid and they're in trouble in the mall.
Well, I guess that kind of just is what it is in a certain sense. Like, I mean, you're talking about the physical, like, reach disadvantage, and I feel like you've developed, like, a very nuanced kind of infighting game. So, yeah, I guess it's kind of like a frustrating thing. It's like your attributes are kind of leading to a dynamic whereby these guys are, you know, trying to avoid that. So, yeah, I kind of get what you're laying down in that sense.
And not only that, Mundell moved down to 75, and when we were up at 85, he kept every fight I have. He kept telling me he'd end my boring streak. So I'm coming down to give him a chance to end my boring streak.
Oh, is there a bit of backstory with you and the champ David Mundell there? Is that like a fight you're kind of like squarely looking at, and there's like a bit of like backing to it? Like, what's the backstory with that there?
I mean, it's not really that big of a backstory. He posted it on a few of my fights. I think it was either the last one or the one or two or one before that. But he told me that he'd end my boring streak, and I'll give you the chance. Dude's a phenomenal bare knuckle boxer, 6-1. There are not many that can claim that record apart from Lorenzo and I think Reggie Barnett. An absolute phenomenal athlete and very technical fighter. I'll give him that chance, though.
It just seems kind of interesting that he would, like, go out of his way to, like, make a comment like that. So he's kind of thinking you've got, like, a boring sort of style. That's interesting. I feel like him going out of his way to make a comment would maybe indicate that he potentially sees you as, like, a future opponent almost. That's kind of a, I guess, curious dynamic there.
I mean, I'm good with it. I'm still trying to get a match with Josh Dyer. He's been calling me out since my first fight. But every single fight, he's become more and more respectful until after he knocked out, who was it? It was in Omaha. Dakota Cochran. He said he'd love to fight me and that I'm a handsome man. And the dude stole my heart, and we really need to get in that ring now.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've got a lot of fun potential matchups coming up. Like, I know you were saying that in the context of, like, the, you know, fight the monster athletes kind of context, you only have like a couple guys that are sort of that tier of that perception, I guess. But it seems like from what we're talking about, you have like a wealth of options with, you know, Josh Dyer, as you're talking about, and, you know, the middleweight champion here and just navigating the move down there. Like, it seems like there's a lot of options that would be exciting for you. Is that kind of how you're interpreting it now? Like, it seems like you have, you know, a lot of options here.
Oh, I do agree. The thing that I don't understand is every other fighter at this caliber, we're on a world stage, and the ones I'm fighting, at least, are the best of the best. They're all number top five. They're all title contenders. They all deserve to be in here. I don't understand this fighter's mentality of, you don't deserve to be in the ring with me. That dude across the ring has put in just as much time as you have, and he's doing it in a different way that just might beat yours. We all deserve to be in that ring, and I want to be the one that takes them all out. Nothing egotistical about that. It's, you ever played the video game Elden Ring? These are all a bunch of big bosses that I want to take down. It's fun to me. When fighting ceases to be fun, I will stop fighting. But until then, it's a game. I love playing this game.
Yeah, and in talking about your next chance to get to play this game, like, what are your thoughts on, like, what Jake Bostwick brings to the table? Like, obviously, he's got a bit of experience in bare knuckle. He's got, like, a couple victories there, has experience fighting, like, the former middleweight champion, Francesco Ricci. Like, what are your thoughts on an opponent like this? It would seem like a good individual to get in there with and kind of, like, interweave yourself into that, you know, middleweight hierarchy like we're talking about. Like, what do you think about, I guess, Jake Bostwick's resume and, I guess, his better stylistic attributes, too?
Jake Bostwick is I think he's a great fighter. He's explosive. He's great on the inside. He's got good footwork. His head movement is a little bit linear, but it also lends to his balance. He's really got a good balance, so he's kind of hard to knock down. He's very explosive. He's very powerful. He fights heavily on the inside, which is going to make this a wonderful fight. I mean, you saw what I did to the last guy who fought me on the inside. We sat and we banged, and that's going to be a blast. I want to do that again. And this dude he's up there. He's one of the best 75ers for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it definitely strikes me as an exciting matchup and everything, but kind of something that I was wondering about, because, like, obviously you got to, you know, compete together on the last card too, yourself and Jake Lindsay, and it seems like you guys have had, like, a very lengthy, you know, history training together and whatnot. I guess I'm curious, with, like, the timing of this recording kind of coinciding with being a few days after Jake Lindsay's, like, welterweight title eliminator win over Connor Tierney, I guess I'm curious to get your thoughts on that performance he had.
So Jake and I go back a long, long, long ways. He was one of the main fighters for the gym that I first started at. I was his punching bag for almost a decade before I knew how to throw hands. So I've known him since fresh out of high school. He's always been a guy that I've looked up to. He was the UFC fighter out of the gym. He was always the undefeated pro fighter. And now it's weird being on the same level as him. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm very confused because I never thought I'd get this far. So now that I'm here, I just kind of have to, hey, what do I do? And he gives me a lot of good advice. He's a really great guy. His performance in London went almost exactly how I thought it was. He was going to make sure, because Tierney has a lot of great lateral movement, and he hung on his neck, made his legs heavy, and made him go on a train track. Tierney stayed on that train track with Jake Lindsay, and that's where Jake thrives.
Yeah, I thought it was a great performance and a great way to kind of really emphatically get himself in that picture, either him fighting, you know, Luis Palomino or Gorjan Slaveski or however that all plays out. Just an exciting time for the division. But I guess, like, one last thing I kind of wanted to touch on while I still had you. Like, I thought it was interesting you were talking about how it's almost like an odd thing for you being on this same level as Jake Lindsay, considering, like, I guess the anecdotal history you guys have and how you even exceeded your own expectations. Like, you talk about kind of seeing this as a game that's fun for you. Like, how much of that mentality is an attribute that kind of carried you here? Because, I mean, you're at a point now where you previously contended for an interim title. I think you're well suited to, like, kind of carving out a path to a title in another division. Like, I guess how much of that is an attribute, like, kind of the idea of perceiving it as a game, like, looking at it as, like, like looking at it in that kind of light, is that like an attribute that like benefits what you're doing? Because it seems like an interesting dynamic where you're kind of being like playful and like humble about it to a certain degree, but also like at that like world title contention level.
The first 4 years of jiu-jitsu, when I went to the gym that Jake was at, I did terribly. I was everything was serious, live or die. I was that traditional white belt. I lost 3 tournaments in a row, didn't even sweep, submit anybody, nothing. And I remember one of the black belts, Andy Weefall, he was the guy who owned the gym at the time, he took me over to the side and he goes, "You need to stop taking this so seriously. You're always tight, you're always tired, you're in your own head. So think of yourself as a little lion cub, and how do they learn to fight? They play. So go play." From then on, I became the scariest guy at the gym. People wouldn't roll with me. I destroyed competitions. I'm one of the most feared guys in the Midwest because I'm not there. Any anxiety that I have goes out the window because it's a game. I want to have fun. So therefore, I want to have fun. I want to learn how to play the game, and I want to learn how to play the game better. So therefore, I don't have too much anxiety over it. I don't have the nerves that used to cripple me when I go to try and roll with somebody. I just have fun. If I lost, well, figure out what you did. Go play the game better next time. Some people deal with fights by getting real angry. Lorenzo Hunt just looks like he's about ready to murder somebody. Mike Tyson, it was a real fight. That's not for me. For me, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. And when, like I said, when this stops being fun, I'm done fighting. But I'm not even close to not having fun at this point.
Well, that's awesome to hear, and I appreciate the insights and the fun definitely shared by the fans at home watching and the fans in the arena and all. But you've been really great with your time, Isaac. It's always fun getting to talk to you ahead of these fights, but just in, you know, wanting to be mindful of your time and schedule as well, I'm curious if there's any kind of final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here.
Everybody tune in to the St. Paddy's Day beatdown. Bostwick and I are going to put on a show. He's a phenomenal fighter. I aim to test him. One of us is probably going to go out in the third. If not, we'll see you at the decision.
Yeah, either way, going to be a very exciting fight on March 17th at BKFC 38. And yeah, another prominent fight, a co-feature slot here. And yeah, some exciting potential with you being in a new division. So just all those factors considered, really appreciate you coming on and talking about all of that, man. Looking forward to peeping this fight when it goes down. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, Isaac.
You as well. Thank you, sir.